Hello to you, Julie. Welcome to
Good
Sunday
morning.
Breakfast.
Thank you.
And look, you are looking very gorgeous this morning. It's still pitch black outside and most of those people listening might be, you know, maybe lying in bed or they might be getting ready to go get up and about or have their breakfast. But you are dressed to the nines and I understand all from an op shop.
All from an op shop, absolutely, as the majority of my wardrobe is.
Yep. So when did you start op shopping?
I started op shopping back around 2008 when my family relocated over to Brisbane, and it was mostly for financial reasons. I'm the classic beer budget, champagne taste. So I was finding some really fantastic items in the op shops over in Brisbane, and I continued that when I moved back to Perth in 2015. And I started an Instagram page to just keep up to date with what I had bought, where from, how much I'd paid, putting looks together, those sorts of things. And I dedicated 2016 to be my year of the thrift.
Okay.
So everything I purchased in that year was secondhand in some fashion, mostly from op shops. And, now I've curated my wardrobe to be majority secondhand from a lot of different sources. And I've just found it really interesting. There's so much out there.
Yeah. Well, so what is it that you've learnt along the way, do you think, of this sort of journey?
So, it's brought me into contact with so many different people who are interested in op shopping for different reasons, be it people's rights, women's rights, garment workers, fair trade, farmers' rights, transparent supply chains, and all of these sorts of things intersected at this point called sustainable fashion. So I've learnt all the environmental reasons behind, or advantages, I should say, of shopping secondhand, a lot of, sustainability and ethical reasons behind shopping secondhand. And yeah, admittedly, it's not for everybody, but for me, it's a huge area of interest.
So, are those the areas of interest that are sort of continuing that for you now, the environmental and the sustainability?
Absolutely. There's a lot of reasons behind it. And I said a lot of people come to this with different areas of interest. You know, it could be zero waste. It could be being interested in being plastic free. It could be saving the oceans. It could be, just saving money. There's loads of different reasons that people come to it. But for me, it's been such an interesting journey learning about what they call sustainable fashion, which I hope that term goes away sometime soon.
Yes.
And the other model is referred to as unsustainable fashion.
Right.
And what we do is just fashion.
It's interesting because I think a lot of people, and I'm putting my hand up here, I haven't really thought about that side of my clothes, but I was shopping the other day and I happened to just have a casual conversation with a lady who was going past me. I tried something on. She said, "Oh, that looks nice." And we were just chatting. She said, "Oh, I used to make things like that all the time." She's an older lady. And I said, "Oh, that art has really disappeared, hasn't it? Because our clothes, well, I guess it's a time consideration, but our clothes are so cheap."
Yeah.
And thinking about having a chat to you this morning, that really struck me that we're probably just buying so much more than we used to because it is, I mean, obviously there are things that are very expensive still as well, but you can go to certain places and get very cheap clothes. And I imagine then we're just throwing them out, aren't we? I mean, we
Absolutely.
Are passing them on, a lot of us, but we're manufacturing probably more than we ever have before.
Oh, so much more. It's unbelievable. The statistics are unbelievable. We're purchasing, 15 years ago, we're purchasing so much more than what we used to and using it far less. And it is just going to landfill. I mean, the stats at the moment say about 6,000 kilograms of clothes go to landfill in Australia every 10 minutes.
Sorry, say that again.
6,000 kilograms of clothes get discarded to landfill in Australia every 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's landfill.
And is it breaking down or?
It's not.
It's not.
Even natural fibres going to landfill have to be composted in a certain way if they're going to break down. Just sending them to landfill means they don't decompose correctly and they release a lot of methane into the atmosphere, which is obviously quite damaging. So there's an awful lot of clothes going to waste. The textile waste is going to be a big problem for the globe very, very soon. And that's, that's not to say that shopping secondhand is the only solution. We need to get much more invested in textile recycling and ways of bringing things back into a circular economy so that things don't go to waste. But, it's a massive problem because things are so cheap. Our consumption is out of control, and unfortunately there's always somebody paying the price for too cheap.
If you just tuned in, you're on ABC Radio Perth, Di Darmody this morning and across the southwest today as well. Julie Leslie is with me in the studio. She's an op shop enthusiast and has just been, well, really shocking me anyway, with some statistics about just how much of our clothes are going to landfill and this idea of sustainable fashion, which I have to admit I haven't really thought about before. In terms of op shopping, though, apart from the sustainability side of it, what are some tips that you can give people if they're not somebody who's ever really thought about? I guess there are some people who might turn their nose up at that maybe, or absolutely, just not understand. It's a different shopping experience, isn't it?
It absolutely is. But it's gaining popularity, I think. There's a real groundswell of support for secondhand fashion. Maybe not necessarily through op shops, but certainly there's a lot online, lots of people reselling at markets, lots of opportunity to pick things up secondhand through consignment stores. You know, the higher end designer items are always on offer. So it's definitely gaining momentum, I think, this sustainable fashion movement. But tips for op shopping, my tips for op shopping, if it interests you, certainly take your time. Make sure you've got a bit of dedicated time to spend in your local op shop and have a bit of a plan. Know the holes in your wardrobe so you're not doubling up on things that you just don't need. That's part of the problem.
Oh, Julie, come on. Those shoppers amongst us are, oh, no, I have got seven of those black jumpers. Absolutely. But anyway.
Knowing your fabrics or your brands, which will help you look for quality, longevity and durability in the clothing that you're buying, so you're not buying something that's about to fall apart.
Yeah, so in terms of material, what should we be looking for?
Well, I'm not great at rifling through a rack and knowing something by feel. That's not one of my strong points. So I tend to look for the labels on the clothes and then I'll read what the fabric is that has been used. Natural fibres are obviously preferable because they will decompose correctly over time.
So we're talking cotton, linen.
Cotton, linen, silk, wool, all those sorts of things will actually break down. Polyesters and acrylic man-made fibres do release microfibres when they're washed, which is a plastic pollution problem that's happening in the oceans at the moment. That's a whole other story.
Yes.
Having said that, polyester and acrylic, polyester especially, is one of the most recyclable textiles that are out there at the moment too. So, yeah, if you're going to actually recycle your textiles, polyester is one of the ones that they can do most readily, whereas the blends, they have trouble recycling.
So if you wanted to have your clothes recycled, apart from taking it down, you know, to your local op shop or whatever, yes, can you take clothes to be...
To a certain extent. It's, again, an area of growing opportunity, I think, and growing technology, but there's not enough funding and there's not enough research. There's some fantastic people working in this space about textile recycling, and they can do an awful lot with these artificial fibres as far as chemical recycling goes, and as far as mechanical recycling, a lot with natural fibres. So, as you said, your silks, your linen, your cotton, they can be mechanically recycled more readily. The blends are really tough to work with. So certainly look for natural fibres. I think they last longer as well. I am one for going through hanger by hanger by hanger when I'm in an op shop as well, rather than just doing a browse. It's not like a department store where you see 10 of one thing hanging on the rack. So take your time, go through each item. That's why I say don't rush. Absolutely try everything on. It's really important. It's the only way you can pick up little holes, say moth holes, or check that the sizing is correct, because a lot of times articles of clothing arrive there because they've been missized. So nobody's picked them up because they think that's not my size. It can be incorrect a lot of the time. Only buy it if you love it. Have a vision. Definitely make friends with your tailor. I feel I'm putting my tailor's children through university with how much I spend with them. So I can customise things.
That's a really good point.
So have a bit of vision is good. And go often because things change all the time. They're always putting new stock out. If you find nothing one day, you may find something the next day. Have fun and definitely be really kind to the lovely volunteers who work in your op shop.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've had a text this morning. I'm not sure who it's from. Please give us your name when you send us a text, 0437 922 720. But this says, I find that good quality men's clothes at op shops are very limited. Have you found that?
Very much so, yeah. And I heard you say earlier
your husband likes to keep items, yes. But he also likes to keep things for a long time,
but
Julie.
This is the thing. Men's clothing is hard to come by in op shops because men's clothing clothing is made better, it's better quality, and they hang on to it until it is threadbare. So good quality secondhand men's clothing, they don't churn through at the same rate that women tend to. So I find the same thing trying to find stuff for my husband, and it's just not out there because men are much better at using their clothes for longer and having much more durable fabrics and well-made.
On Saturday next week, Julie, is probably one of the biggest op shop sales in Perth, the Bindarin Clothing Sale. You're an ambassador. Tell us a little bit really quickly about it and who benefits.
Okay, the Bindarin Annual Red Cross Op Shop Sale is happening next weekend at Claremont Showgrounds next Saturday, the 19th of May. It's the single biggest fundraising event for the Red Cross across Australia.
Is it?
And we do it right here in Perth, which
right.
is really
I didn't
exciting.
Know that.
It's a colossal op shop, essentially, held at the Robinson Pavilion at Claremont Showgrounds. There's three different sections that you can visit. There is your classic op shop, which is free entry. There is your retro emporium section, which is a $2 entry that's got some fantastic vintage and really interesting eclectic items that you'll find in there. Then there's the high-end boutique section, which if you are going to that one, I would suggest you get there early.
That's the one you line up for quite a while,
yes.
That's
the one you line up for. And the designer items in there are fantastic. I've been there the last 2 years and last year picked up some fantastic bargains in the boutique section. Prices start there at $20 because they are great quality, high-end donated items from some great areas around Perth, great businesses that contribute to this fantastic sale. So it's got a lovely history too. The Red Cross Bindarin sale started 55 years ago. This is the 55th anniversary.
Fantastic.
Started with five ladies in a garage in Bindarin Parade in Claremont, I believe. And that first year they raised £50, I think.
And what are you raising now?
To date, they've raised over $2 million for the Red Cross across Australia. Last year, they raised over $226,000 on the single day of the Bindarin sale. So it's run by about 250 excellent volunteers on the day who contribute their time to this really, really worthy cause. And, of course, the Red Cross charity is fantastic to support. They give so much back to the community, you know, not just as far as blood donations, which is, I think, what everyone knows them for, but meals to the homeless, outreach calls to isolated elders, emergency shelters, elderly visits, helping vulnerable migrants, and also breakfasts to school kids across Australia. So it's a fantastic cause, really worth supporting, and also picking up some bargains for yourself on the way.
Look, the Red Cross just do fantastic work. We're really grateful for them. And as you say, money is needed, and this is a great way to do it because you feel as though you can come with something as well.
Absolutely.
But as you said, you do need to go with a plan.
Yes.
And if you are wanting to go into that sort of exclusive section, I've been before. The line is long. So, you know, get a coffee and take a friend so you can maybe catch up with someone you haven't seen normally. It's been really lovely to meet you today. Thank you so much for coming in. And have a great time at the sale next week.
I hope so. I hope everybody comes down and supports the Red Cross. This Bindarin sale is just such an amazing event to be a part of. And I'm very, very proud to be an ambassador.